Hello, and welcome to Iacon Underground Radio for the week of June 14th, 2024. I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
So we
Toys.
Yeah, like we skipped last week because there wasn't really any news, and apparently it's because all the news was being saved up for this week, because this week it's a lot of news.
Yeah.
So we will start off with a huge pile of assorted toy news. I think the most important news is that the Missing Link mini-cons are going to come in tiny cardboard boxes.
Mini what? you mean the mini bots?
The mini bots, yes.
Oh, right, yeah.
The mini bots, Bumblebee and Cliff Jumper. I don't know if you've seen the tiny boxes that some Japanese G1 stuff came in. I'm especially fond of the little Battle Beasts cardboard boxes.
Oh, yeah, those tiny bell boxes. Yeah, they're cute.
The Battle Beasts came in their own, like, little individual, like, window boxes. And yes, the mini bots also came in little tiny boxes, and that's going to continue with the Missing Link ones, so that's going to be delightful.
Are they going full retro? Or are they coming in styrofoam?
I think Optimus does. Yeah, I would presume that they are also just going to be in, there's just going to be a little, like, 3-inch by 2.5-inch little styrofoam insert in there.
I mean, all that styrofoam is probably bad for the environment, but I kind of missed it.
I think there's better ways to make it now. I think you can make it in ways that is that's a little more responsible, but also part of the problem was how much of it was being made at the time. And if you're using it sparingly, it's not so bad. And I mean, for collectibles, people are going to keep that. That's not going to end up in a landfill.
Yeah.
Also, very cute. There's a new set of the licensed third-party blocks or blockies. I don't know if it's supposed to be blocks or blockies. Blokes? No, it's definitely like blockies.
Okay, it's got an extra E, but I want to call them blokes. Because they're a little squat, like... Not fully super deformed, but they're shortened proportions.
Yeah, they're stylized. I am definitely hoping that some people at TFCon are going to have cases of them just, you know, opened up. And I hate blind pack things so much.
Kind
of. I don't want all of them. I just want a couple. I want the sideswipe. I really want the sideswipe. He's adorable.
Yeah. But blind packs are okay if they're very tiny things you can get for like $2 or $3.
Yeah. I mean, these...
If you're paying more than $5, no.
These seem to retail for around the like $6 or $7 range.
Nope. Then I want to know what the fuck's in the box.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to know what's in the box. I don't want to have to buy the entire like $60 case just to get the half of the wave that I want. But... The fourth series is going to have Tarn, and it's a very cute Tarn. He's adorable. So that's pretty. I mean, third party licensees love Tarn.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I mean, he's cool, but they really love Tarn.
Menacing tank dude, purple, and the face
monster
mask.
Fuckers. The monster fuckers love Tarn.
That too.
They're going for that. He's like the kind of cool that appeals to the people who want the big, tough, menacing characters, but also to the people who want the big, tough, menacing characters to like tie them up and hurt them.
Yeah, he's right in that category.
The different markets. Yeah, you'll have fun in the fan merchandise area. I'm warning you.
Oh dear.
I'm warning you ahead of time. It was like that at the last TFCon I went to. Like, oh my goodness. Speaking of things that will make you go, oh my goodness, they are doing, it's a, I guess, expo, a convention exclusive of the Bishojo, a version of the Bumblebee one that is going to be Cliff Jumper.
Yes.
Sadly, it does not look like she is showing anybody the middle finger, which is what I would do.
I mean, well, because it's based upon the existing Bumblebee mold. They probably didn't have time.
I know. Bumblebee's to do that, not cause that's showing anybody. I mean, reason. Now I want to do, like, a rundown of, like, Bumblebees ranked by how likely they are to be giving someone the middle finger.
I mean, actually, like, depending upon how the construction is, it was, if it's a swappable hand for the statue part, that could work.
I'm guessing because statues.
But I don't know how it's put together.
Yeah, it's probably just all one piece.
Well, no, it's complicated. It's probably some separate piece, at least for the straps and things, and maybe the head.
I'm ranking animated Bumblebee as it, most likely to shoot somebody the middle finger.
Yeah. Movie Bee would do it.
Yeah.
If somebody did it first, he would mimic.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's cute. It's, the Bumblebee is probably one of the more wholesome of those that they've done.
I really like the Starscream mold. It's ridiculous and good. And if I see a Skywarp version, I might pick it up.
Oh no, we're all gonna get those at the convention, and it's gonna be embarrassing for everybody. I'm gonna love it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go, and I'm gonna buy, like, a Rodimus waifu pillow, and that's gonna be, like, the only thing I bring home. So, other things. I get back over to my notes here. Speaking of Bumblebee, we have... Yeah. I think there's actually official pictures now. Somebody leaked the Lego Bumblebee, but I also saw that Gizmodo had an article about it, which they do not do stuff based on unofficial. They based on real press releases.
Yeah, because I did see a picture of the box that looked like professional photographs, so probably it's just the leak came out, like, right before it was officially going to come out anyway.
Yeah, I think probably somebody leaked the press photos and just leaked them ahead of time. Oh my god, no. What is my... Sorry. My GarageBand was having a moment thinking I wanted to switch audio inputs. I do not. Thank you. Yeah, so Gizmodo tends to stick with official stuff, so they are currently pretending to be a reputable news organization until they start letting AI write all of their articles. So, yeah, that was probably somebody got the press release and just released it a little earlier. Gizmodo's article actually has a video of him being transformed.
I did not see that. But, yeah, it's cool-looking Bumblebee, but it's also sort of more retro. It's got, like, a tire on the back in a very, like, oldie-timey car style.
Yeah, it's a really interesting vehicle mode. I guess they're going in a similar direction that the Studio Series Bumblebee is, where the vehicle mode is fudged a little bit. You get some Volkswagen-y details around the front fenders, and everything else is made up from scratch. It does look cute, though. It is sort of a, like, 30s kind of car.
Yeah.
But I guess, I mean... We will not get into the history of the Volkswagen company. But yeah, it's interesting. It's probably, I don't think we have, do we have a price on it? I do
less
not,
than whatever the Prime was.
Well, yeah, but that's, I mean, the Prime was so Prime expensive.
Yeah.
$90. $90 is how much.
That's not great, but not horrible.
It is Lego, so. Only $10 more than that Hot Wheels Optimus Prime.
Wow. Yeah, and it's way better than that. Why is that? I don't get why the Hot Wheels is that expensive.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how Mattel does anything. I don't keep track of Mattel. This is not a Mattel podcast.
No.
So,
unless I find some He-Man stuff for cheap, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I was hoping I could hit up Five Below and get one of those clearanced out Catras that some people reported, but sadly that
I haven't been to Five Below in a while. Well, not to get a Catra.
That was not to be. So, as for non-licensed actual official toys, this week, I think this is a really cool thing, what the Hasbro guys chose to do. It feels like Instagram is more and more becoming the avenue through which, like, companies release official stuff.
Which feels weird. Well, it makes sense in this case because some of the designers are on there and like to show off toys.
Yeah.
Like, what is it, Mark Clonius?
Yes.
Is his name?
Well,
I don't know what his real name is, but...
Mark. His name
Instagram
is Mark.
Name. Well, yes, that part. I don't know the rest of his name.
The guys who do the live streams, I'm a little... I guess, I don't know if they decided to do this in lieu of doing a live stream or if they want to check, you know, try this out and see how this went, or maybe they couldn't make a live stream work with their schedules. But spreading it out over 3 days like this was pretty cool. So they started on Tuesday, and then they showed some more stuff on Wednesday, and then today, being Thursday, they showed a whole bunch of stuff, and then the pre-orders went live this afternoon. So they started with Quake and Slipstream, which are both... remolds.
The Quake, the Quake is the wackiest remold. Like, he's a remold of the Skullgrin mold, which is already ugh. Like, it looks good in robot mode, but transformation in the vehicle mode, no. Quake at least looks slightly better, but man, his colors are oversaturated, which, I mean, that's not really Quake. His maroon was more subdued and that blue is off.
But. He does have his little buddies, though.
He does have his little buddies, which is nice, but, like, I already have a Quake. He doesn't have little buddies, but he doesn't need little buddies. It looks... The last one, the remold of the hardhead, was better. I can pass up on this. I have the G1 buddies, if I want to stick them on.
The original buddies. I mean, it is nice that they... You know, because that's been a whole thing with them not being able to fit extra things like that in with the tooling and everything. So it is nice.
Well,
that
the original
he gets
tooling,
his...
so it's a remold, so it's easier engineering. And it's like he gets his guns fine. Anyway, Slipstream. Finally, we have a. Well, there was Cyberverse Slipstreams, but there were cheaper, weirder toys. Yay, a G1 Slipstream.
Yeah.
At retail. Finally.
Sort of a Cyberverse Slipstream.
Well. Yeah, kind of, but it's bad. Well, wait, is it Cyber? I thought it was... Well, I guess the Windblade is more in line with their Cyberverse design. I
mean, it is officially Cyberverse.
Okay.
Like, she is listed as Transformers Legacy United Deluxe Class Cyberverse Universe Slipstream.
That's a mouthful. Anyway, it's a Slipstream I will buy. I have actually already pre-ordered.
Very pretty colors. A lot of people have. On Pulse, she is already sold out. Fortunately, she's one of those who's, you know, an actual mainline figure, so she should hopefully show up elsewhere.
I wanted to buy the Takara one for Prime that was a remold ages ago, but that sucker was expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it's not like it's unheard of for her to be a Windblade remold.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it looks good. I know people are very fussy because they wanted her to be, like, the actual Voyager Seeker mold, but I think she looks good.
A Seeker remold actually would be cool, but, I mean, this is fine.
Fun fact with the whole female Seeker... everybody's teenage girl characters thing. I was in a Transformers RP at one point years and years ago with someone whose character was named Slipstream, who is a female Decepticon jet. Well, ex-Decepticon. But
although, well, with this, it's like, now you just got to start redecoing it into, what was the one in Earthspark? The yellow one?
Nova Storm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We need Nova Storm. Make her a Skywarp, because Skywarp is a...
Well,
great, thanks, guys.
Yeah, Skywarp is a girl there, but the colors are closer to Slipstreams.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, Nova Storm is definitely a different color.
Yeah. So yeah, that is exciting. There is also Transformers Legacy United Voyager Class G1 Universe Soundwave. who comes with Buzzsaw, which is very exciting because we have not gotten a proper modern Buzzsaw.
Yeah, it has been since Masterpiece was the last one?
It's been a while.
No, there's had to have been something.
He keeps coming with other ones. He keeps coming with Laserbeaks and Ravages.
Yeah.
And a Ravage and a Rumble. I'm gonna say it's Rumble. I'm a cartoon color person because
the blue one.
Yeah, because we didn't have money when I was a kid, but we had cartoons. So Rumble is blue and purple in this case.
I mean, that's nice. We're getting another, but it's another of that same, well, modified Soundwave mold, and I have the Ravage.
Yes, it's the one that they used for the Netflix one that is a tape player. And the Rumble is Studio Series Rumble. Looks like he's got more. It's definitely some colors. He's a more. It's more of a grape purple and sky blue.
He's a little bit more deco.
So yeah, he has definitely got a little more color to him. But I mean,
it's like if you don't have a Soundwave, sure, or you really want your little birdie dude.
I mean, I think Netflix Soundwave goes for. I mean, I got mine like off the shelf at Walmart at the time, but I think he's pretty pricey on the aftermarket.
But it's like the mold. There's Soundwave, there's Soundblasters, there's the remold, and I'm just thinking of the spaceship one already, not the
because
I have like two of the previous ones.
This is very specifically not the spaceship one. No one wants the spaceship one. Everyone's done with the spaceship one.
Yeah.
Get that out of here. There is also, we have Missing Link Optimus Prime at home, the Transformers Legacy United Deluxe Class G1 Universe Optimus Prime.
He looks adorable good. And tiny. He looks very good.
Mm-hmm.
His head maybe feels a little bit big, but I guess that was kind of the proportions of the G1 one anyway.
It looks like I think he's got rubber wheels.
Really?
Which is, yeah, and they're pinned. They're not, like, the mushroom pegs, so...
When the fuck was the last time we had rubber wheels?
I know, right? Like, alternators?
I mean, I don't need them, but I do kind of miss it. No, I think they are still plastic. It's just the hubcap and the wheel are two separate molds, which hasn't happened in a while either.
We'll see. I've heard...
Had a lot of mushroom pegs.
I'm skimming the, skimming the description on Hasbro Pulse and seeing if it elaborates on that. But they did look kind of rubbery, so I'm curious to see what happens with that.
Maybe they just got the right plastic color and texture that it works. But
it is...
Yeah.
It's
fine.
It looks good. It looks pretty good.
Yeah. And he comes with a little glowing axe. Yay!
And you can,
that's all you need.
You can pretend that it's G2 Optimus if you really want to, because there weren't any significant deco changes in the cab part. It was just all in the trailer.
Yeah, the trailer and the box thingy.
I do like some G2. So there is also a remolded version of Boulder Crash. There are two Galvatrons.
Oh, yeah.
There's Armada Galvatron, and there is the little bitty Energon Galvatron, colored Galvatron.
Yeah.
There is a refresh of Metalhawk for some reason.
Yeah, which the colors... The layout is the same, but, like, the saturation is slightly different.
I mean, he looks good. If you're going to do a package refresh, that's... I mean, it's not a bad thing to do to tweak the colors a little bit.
Yeah, but he's kind of a shelf warmer.
He is a little shelf warmy. He does every... It's, like, every store that I go to that has... Well, I guess it's all either a bunch of Metalhawks, a bunch of G-Axis, or a bunch of Armada Starscream.
Oh, the Armada Starscream. Also, I haven't seen them in a while, but it was like the Leo Prime.
Yeah, I haven't seen too many of them.
I don't know. I feel like my local Target shipped them back.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Or something, because there was a lot of them.
Those go fast around here. I don't know what's wrong with your area that they don't appreciate
don't
a lion.
Kitty cat? I don't know. Maybe they're gone now. Maybe they put them on sale or something.
Maybe they put them on clearance and somebody snapped them all up.
Or they moved them to another section that is clearance and I just haven't seen it.
They could have shipped them to my stores and they would have gone because the only things, every so often I'll see like one Lyo Convoy. And otherwise, it's like 5 G-Axis or 5 Metal Hawk or 5 Armada Starscream. Never mixed. Huh. It's always just solid.
Yeah, usually it's like 5 of everything and 1 of something else.
G-Axis like was a toy that was made specifically for me. And that's why he's a shelf warmer, is because he was just for me.
Specifically for you. Some other people just also wanted him.
No. Nobody wanted him. Obviously not. The shelf at the Walmart says that nobody wanted that toy except me specifically. I love him.
Okay, the rock guys are neat. I need to find the previous one of the little rock bike.
He's good. I've seen him around a good bit, so just check Target. It's a really good little toy. I have found that motorcycles can be hit or miss, but he is a very good little motorcycle. There is also the inevitable animated Motormaster, based on animated Optimus Prime.
I guess it's sort of inevitable in that they made the animated Optimus Prime toy.
I am kind of surprised that he seems to be... He is just a standard release, though, right? He's not like not limited to anything in particular, because that seems like the kind of thing that, I mean, they haven't only ever done redecos based on convention figures as niche exclusives, but...
Yeah, we've had the Shulker Reactor recently, and other stuff I'm blanking on.
that's pretty cool. That's... The original apparently goes for quite a hefty sum of money, so that's a good thing to get out there. There are also some GoBots. The GoBots! Yes. The GoBots!
Which is just like, it feels like they've been an inevitability that we would get more GoBots.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since they're making the guys that they did out of them. Takara did E-Hobby. Is that it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, the little e-hobby guys.
Yeah, the e-hobby ones. But they are going to have Pathfinder, Smallfoot, and Treads.
Yeah, I want that Treads, but I don't need the other two.
I would say this would be very exciting for the people who are going to be catching Challenge of the GoBots on the upcoming MeTV Toons channel. except apparently it's on at 4 in the morning on Sundays, so... Or I guess Saturday night into Sunday. Now, I am a person who enjoys the night shift, but 4 in the morning is usually you need to get to bedtime. So, yeah. That's...
And GoBots will put you to sleep.
Yeah. If you're up at 4 in the morning on a Saturday and you're watching GoBots, you need probably to go into rehab. And then when you come out to make better choices with your life. But yeah. It's very cool that it's going to be on there just as a brief diversion to the upcoming MeTV Toons TV channel. Very cool that Challenge of the GoBots is going to be included because, like, it's Challenge of the GoBots and, you know, Hanna-Barbera has seemed... I mean, they've released it on DVD, but that's because they've got their whole boutique DVD manufacturing department that just, you know, makes stuff to order. So, you know, it's not like they've completely buried it, but it's very cool. A lot of people were very excited to see that in the promotional material for that new channel. Also, lots of people very excited to see Freakazoid in the promotional material for that channel. And
I haven't seen that
forever. Pretty sure I'm pretty sure Freakazoid gets a better time slot, but like literally everything is a better time slot than 4 in the morning
they go
on Saturday night. On Sunday morning. Yeah. So
anyway, GoBot toys, yay. Can we have the rest of them? Well, we've had a bunch of bug bites, and I will buy more bug bites. But
I would like a good turbo. I always like turbo.
Yeah, that's the thing. I want guys that are outside of the old e-hobby 6 dudes and a crasher.
Yeah.
Like, we made helicopters. Give us a copter. Give us a good Psykill. Turbo. Turbo should be... Well, the problem with Turbo is he's red car.
Yeah, and Sideswipe is already red car.
And there's a couple other Autobots who are already red car.
I mean, everybody loves a red car, though.
I mean, yeah, unless they do, like... Well, with the e-hobby ones, they're, like, they're just off colors. It's like they're not the colors of the original GoBots. I guess if you slap more white or silver or something on Turbo, that'd work?
Yeah.
Make him two-tone or something?
Also, yeah. If you go by the old model kits, you can swap out his head and make him Turbo Teen. I don't know if you've seen that model kit, but that was...
I think, yeah.
That was the thing that happened. That was absolutely a thing that happened. So, other Hasbro Pulse merchandise, they have Pride tees, so you can get yourself a corporate Pride shirt. And I am saddened to admit that I absolutely did buy the Transformers Pride tee. Corporate Pride has claimed another victim.
Tempting. Wait, what were the other? The G.I. Joe one is kind of cool, but... simple. Mm-hmm. Wasn't there another one? I thought.
So I should be getting that in the mail tomorrow. So yeah. I can rep.
The problem with that is like I like the funnier fake ones like Weyland Yutani or Anaheim Electronics.
Yeah, someone
and those in rainbow.
I saw somebody on Blue Sky who had mocked up an Anaheim Electronics one because they just had some. I think they had some rainbow foil on their Cricket machine.
Yeah, so that they just made it. It's like, I do oh, like that looks those. So good and stupid. I want that.
I would absolutely wear some of those just to pick on corporate pride. Feeling a little put out by how little stuff Target put out this year. Thanks, corporate pride.
What? Yeah, because they cut back for... conservative nonsense bullshit is like whatever.
Well, at least we have our two pack of some handsome gentlemen coming up.
Yes.
I really appreciated how unhinged our friends got leading up to this.
Oh yeah, because they were guessing like what they were going to be and hoping that it was going to be Emerald Sauron and Flame.
Based on one fist,
and a red triangle,
red
which
pointy thing,
which one of us,
and the fact that
Willa specifically guessed that's a knee pad.
The fact that it was guessed correctly is pretty amazing. So, yeah, I got up this morning, checked the socials, and Emerit, Zeron, and Flame were a real thing that is actually, like, what the hell? I was talking about G-Axis being, like, a toy that was just made only for me, and these two are just, like, what a time to be alive.
Even, like, G-Axis, like, I sort of, like, I mean, they had a toy previously, so some other people other than you will buy it, yes. Not a lot. These two are way more niche.
What a time.
Like, 6-0 is exceedingly happy.
Yes, 6-0 is so happy.
And a handful of other people.
I had to go back
and... I kind of do want them, but I don't know.
I actually stopped on my way out the door to work to make sure I got that pre-order in, because it went live just as I needed to be leaving, so I was like, oh, gotta get this pre-ordered, now I can go to work. So, I'm very excited. I did have to double-check 6-0's video to make sure that I was pronouncing Zeron correctly, because occasionally, I mean, that could be Zaron, it could be Zeron, I mean, I'd have to hear Simon say it because he made it up, but I assume that 6-0 is going to go with the appropriate British pronunciation. But apparently they did make a point to have most of Zeron's transformation be parts forming, because here's the thing, he doesn't transform, And it's been so long since he transformed that at one point in a story, he was going to do it. And it was, like, perilous. It was like, he couldn't quite do it because he just hadn't transformed in so long. So he is based on the reflector mold, sort of fudged and nudged and parts formed to be sort of a...
Sort of be a tanky thing, yeah.
It's definitely the kind of alt mode that if you had that, you would be like, I'm just never gonna transform again. It's fine.
Yeah.
Flame is beautiful. He is based on the gamer, I guess the gamer Megatron. I haven't been keeping up too much with the gamer stuff.
Yeah, the newer Megatron, which is based upon the War for Cybertron Megatron. And
he looks...
I don't know. I didn't buy that Megatron because I have the previous, the old deluxe one. It's like, I didn't need the new one, but I guess I'll buy these guys literally right now on air.
You Brian Kilby? I don't know if you ever listen to Radio Free Cybertron, but Brian Kilby frequently buys things, like, in the middle of the podcast.
Well, because when I checked earlier today, I think it was, like, only, like, the subscriber-only thingamabob.
Yeah.
For, like, the first hour.
They do that for an hour, and then at the end of that hour...
I just didn't check back.
That's when I have to jump in there, because I don't order enough of this stuff to pay for their subscription. But yeah, I mean... He looks great. He's got this grinning face. So he's crazy. Yeah.
He's not as expressive as I would like, but he's more expressive than usual, which is not enough in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I mean...
And they do have Zaron's weird mouth.
Yes! What is even going... What's even... Why is his mouth like that? Questions I have.
And in the comics, it actually emotes like he can smile, sort of, so the corners move, so it's not like it's solid, but like he's just got the top and bottom lip are stuck together in two spots.
Yeah, I realize weird, these are like not new questions. Like, we have been. I discovered the comics in the 90s, and I have been asking these questions since the 90s. What is the deal? Why is his mouth like that? But they did settle on a particular color scheme because his colors tend to be somewhat inconsistent. Sometimes he's just like solid yellow,
which is okay. This one has more of the French gray mixed in, which is nice, but
yeah,
for some reason I prefer it when his head is yellow.
Nope, his head's gray.
Head's gray. I think the gray head was the original anyway.
Flame is so pretty. I mean, he's Rodimus. He's basically extremely...
Yeah, he's like evil tank Rodimus.
Yes. He's like Pharma and Rodimus had a kid, basically. So he's... This is just, like I said, like, what a time to be alive, that they're making this extremely, extremely niche stuff that's just like... For me and my small group of extremely nerdy friends.
Now we just need a better scrounge that turns into a wheel.
I do like that as this series, the comic series, progressed. I mean, yeah. I guess you would have to switch the first two to say that it went from the most recognizable to the least recognizable, because I'd say that Grimlock is probably more recognizable than Shockwave, marginally.
Yeah.
But that it went from Shockwave to Grimlock to Straxus to Flame and Emrit Zaron.
Okay, so if they're going to continue that, what would be crazier next?
Boltax.
The guy that turns into a player piano?
Spanner.
Well, the problem with Boltax is he's the same color as Zaron and does not transform. He's just a dude.
Or, yeah, the piano guy from McAdams.
Yeah, the piano guy, or, hell, McAdams himself.
There you go. Yeah, just so this is, whatever. Again, what a time to be alive. This is... I can't... Yeah. I'm just looking at them, and it's... Throughout the day, it's slowly been... Like, even though we were expecting it was probably gonna be these two, it's still, well, I don't think it's going to be real. I'm not even going to say it's not going to be real until I have them in hand. I don't think it's going to be real until I've had them in hand for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I'm going to go through a couple weeks of just looking at them like, what the hell? Who let this happen? Yeah, I'm pretty excited about them. So that is it for toy news. We can move on to gaming news. We're going to do gaming news. That's our segment.
Yay,
our
new segment. News.
Gaming news.
Welcome to the gaming corner.
Gaming corner. Think of some punny... No, I'm not going to think of a punny title. So, you know that Reactivate game? The announcement trailer is no longer on the Hasbro Pulse Twitter feed or the official Reactivate Twitter feed.
Does this mean Reactivate has been deactivated?
But you know, it could mean...
Is there anything else on the Reactivate's Twitter without the trailer?
Not a lot. There are a couple things about media events and stuff they did. I mean, it's possible that this means that they are overhauling it significantly enough that they feel that that trailer is not properly representative of where they are with it right now.
Possibly.
Or it could mean that it is going away.
Yeah.
Which would be hilarious because it had a small toy line.
It has toys that they've already come out, right?
Yeah, they came out. And people mentioned that they looked like they had been in storage for a couple years. Like, just elements of the packaging design and possibly, like...
Or, like, older style.
Yeah, possibly some copyright stuff on them. Basically, it looked like Hasbro was getting tired of sitting on them. So, yeah, those... I mean, it is... We're currently getting toys for games that you can't play. Unless you have the original physical copies.
Devastation.
But I would say that getting toys for a game that never actually came out is worse.
Did they make any toys for the other games that didn't come out, the MMO ones?
No.
Wasn't there... Oh, no, there was a fan club. Like, they did a barricade that was based upon a Prowl mold or something?
Maybe. I mean, there was a Prowl design, but he was just, like, a cardboard standee at their booth at BotCon.
Right. That's what it was. Like, I forget what the mold even was. But it's like, it was a barricade based upon that design, which would have sort of theoretically tied into the game, but...
Yeah.
Whatever, it was vague. It wasn't as these guys who have come out in game.
I mean, it does sound like they were. It does sound like they're good toys. So I guess there's that.
Yeah.
If you do happen to see any of those toys still in stock at your local GameStop, which I think is the primary place they were distributed through. GameStop is currently, they are currently running a promotion right now where you can get an exclusive cover version of Skybound Transformers number 1 if you spend at least $25 on Transformers toys at your local GameStop.
Basically means buy a Voyager.
Yeah, I think the deluxes would count, except not if you're getting...
Deluxes are $24.99.
Oh, that's... Now I have questions.
Yes.
Now I have questions. Because if they were like $25.99...
Yeah, no, but that's how the system always is. The lowest price thing is under whatever the price of the thing you have to buy is. You have to buy two deluxes or a Voyager or whatever.
Say 25 plus. I don't know. I haven't bought anything from there real recently. That's a lie. I think I bought like Windblade there or something.
I haven't gone to GameStop in forever. I don't remember the last time I bought anything in a GameStop. It's hard enough to remember the last time I was at a GameStop.
I keep dropping by my nearest one hoping that maybe they'll Xbox One copy of, which one is it? Transformers Devastation? Is that the one that came out for one? I'm keeping one? An eye out. Xbox One.
Oh, right. Sorry, I got it on PlayStation. I don't know.
I am an Xbox household, sir. I need my Bethesda games.
Yes, fine. Get your... Devastation is the one you're looking for, yes, yes, on some system.
I'm just looking for a Transformers game that's not a movie tie-in.
I don't know. The last time I was in GameStop to try and buy something, it was when they had model kits.
Ooh.
But they stopped having model kits.
Oh, that's rough.
So I left.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I wanted to buy some Gundam. Because, like, I think they started carrying, like, Kamen Rider model kits.
Hmm.
Or at least supposedly they did, but by the time I checked, like, my store didn't carry model kits no more. It's like, oh, crap.
They have been getting a decent distribution on Transformers toys lately. Okay. So it's definitely, if you're looking for, like, a Deluxe or a Voyager, it's worth dropping by there. I was checking mine for Chromia for a little bit, and then I just ended up getting her off Amazon.
So. Okay, well, I'll see if they have any wacky thing. Hey, if maybe they have a Jetfire or whatever, I'll buy that.
I gotta say that I do not envy people who are cover completists for Transformers 1. Like,
well, for any big comic anyway these days.
For any big ridiculous thing in general, but the Skybound Transformers number 1 is getting
exceptionally big.
Absurd.
Yeah.
This is... I hate it, because back when I used to be, like, actively collecting back issues, the cover was how I knew whether I had an issue or not yet.
Oh, yeah, and then with so many, yeah.
And now I can't keep track, and it's obnoxious. I mean, I'm talking about, like, 20 to 30 years ago, but it's annoying. Also, I'm feeling big, like, adjectiveless X-Men number 1 vibes with Skybound number 1 at this point. Which I'm pretty sure I could go to Ollie's down the street right now, and they would have bundled old, like, vintage comics on the shelf that would have adjectiveless X-Men number 1 in a couple of them.
Mm.
Not even kidding. They printed so many of that. But I mean,
Jetfire isn't in stores. It's weird that the new comics made me tempted to get that Jetfire.
Oh, I know.
And he can't transform anymore.
Oh, that's rough.
Well, neither of us have read the most recent one, 9, that came out this week.
But. Yes. Because, man, I should see about getting review access to that again. So I will still be picking up physical copies at my new local comic shop now that it's not that local, but it is a comic shop. It deserves support. So before we move on to comics.
Oh, wait, did we? We never mentioned the transforming Ninja Turtle wagon, party wagon, did we?
Maybe not. Because that's a thing. That is a thing. It was like a month or two ago.
Yeah,
it's old enough that people have it.
Oh, I forget if it came up in a previous podcast because it was just, I was scrolling through GameStop. It's like, oh, right, the party wagon.
Did you have like extra things to say about it or did you just want to call out its
existence? No, other than it exists. Well, it's all turtles at once. You just swap the bandana head. It's like,
I really got a kick out of when it first went up for pre-sale on Hasbro Pulse and they had a limit of 3 per customer. Which they ended up, I think, by like the end of the day, they had changed it to 5.
What? Four. Well, four. And only 4.
But then you get one. Wait a second. Okay. So Reef.
No,
was
the only options to buy it should be 1 or 4.
Well, no, but then you have one to display in vehicle mode.
Because
the vehicle mode is not character specific. So you've got the one in vehicle mode, and then one for each of the 4 turtles in robot mode.
But well, I guess technically there is a 5th mode, too, which is sort of reverse, where the front of the wagon becomes the chest.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that works, but it's like, I don't know. It's neat that it exists. It isn't shocking that it exists, but...
Sorry. Cat interference.
Squeakiness.
It's definitely a thing.
Yeah.
It looks very cool. It's apparently bigger than you would think. Also, it's carded.
Oh.
Like an old Playmates Turtles toy.
Oh, that's gotta be huge freaking card then.
Yeah. It's supposed to be pretty impressive to see in person.
Hmm. Okay.
So, but yeah, I really got a kick out of that limit 3 per customer. Hmm. Also, I got an extra kick out of them actually changing that just for that one listing. Because yeah. They realized that was a problem. So before we go into more comics talk, I would just like to mention that some people have gotten to see early cuts of Transformers 1, and yes. I, for one, am jealous.
Yes.
It seems to be going over well so far, so, I mean, there's always going to be a certain bias to something like that where you're just excited.
When reviewers and influencers get there first and, like, the first thing I saw of a review of someone seeing it was like, oh, wait, Alita 1 is a pre-existing character? It's like, oh, God damn.
Well, that,
but
mean,
yeah, some actual Transformers fans have seen it besides that and have liked it.
Yeah. I mean, it's good if non-fans like it too, just because that means that it, you know, is inherently good, but I mean, it's objectively good. But yeah, it's fingers crossed that it's going to be good. I want it to be good. I think we're supposed to get a second trailer sometime soon.
Hopefully soon, yeah, because it... Oh, yeah.
We are getting there. Well, I mean, it's a couple more months. But yeah, it's promising. Apparently the aforementioned 6-0 got to see it. But he is NDA'd against saying literally a single thing about it for a little while, so. Except that he has seen it.
Mm.
Not a word. So yeah, a little bit of comics talk. I don't know, I mean, what do we even have to say about 7 and 8?
It continues to be good, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It fun action comic, I do want... Well, the story is progressing beyond just fighting over the ship, and it is moving, expanding the world, and resurrecting the old nemesis.
Yeah,
and whatever happens in issue 9.
That's a thing that's actually happening. I think... I mean, my biggest issues with it are just that I hate modern decompressed storytelling. So... Every issue, yes. It's like, yay! Literally one thing happened in this entire story.
But there is action in each issue. So at least the fact that the story is progressing slowly doesn't feel as bad, because Optimus is suplexing someone or whatever.
Yeah.
It works for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's better than Talking Heads.
It has good art, and I'm sure that's a lot more appealing to people who care more about art than I do.
Yes. Yes.
Whereas I care about how things are written, and it's more or less written. So,
yeah.
I'm not going to stop reading it. I'm not as angry about it as I am at Void Rivals, which, as I said, I feel like is taking advantage of my affection for Transformers to make me spend $4 a month on an extra comic.
I am not.
But... But it's got Springer coming up.
I saw that cover, I thought about it, and I changed my mind.
Or maybe already, because I picked up some comics and I read Transformers number 8, and I haven't revisited that stack just yet.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, some things happened. Astro Train showed up.
Yeah, that was cool. Ooh. Soundwave killed an entire aircraft carrier full of humans.
Yeah, that was a lot. I mean, I don't know. It's fine. I mean, that's not fine. Yeah. It's a war crime, but
no, it's
fine. I don't know if it's technically a war crime, because they are combatants if they're on a military vehicle.
I mean, but they're combatants, but, like, they're third-party combatants, since the Decepticons are fighting the Autobots, not humanity. Well, they kind of are.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, that...
It continues to be a story, and there's not a lot that I'm like... There's not really twists.
Not yet. No, other than I'm not sure who the body is that Alita 1 picked up, although maybe I just missed the obvious.
And I guess... I thought it was Cup.
Oh, I was assuming it was like... No, because Cup dies.
Oh, okay.
Cup dies. It's not him. She finds somebody else in the thing on Cybertron. I was guessing probably Magnus, but or Springer. No.
I guess we'll
find Springer's because he's in the other cut, so I don't fucking know. I don't know what Springer's doing. Because I'm not going to read Void Rivals.
You're boycotting it. You could just be not reading it, but boycotting is more actively not reading it.
No, I just don't. I don't care enough to boycott.
I'll get caught up with it. I'll pull that out of my stack. So speaking of things not getting read or watched, you have not been watching any of Earthspark yet, have you?
I still have to get to the DVD of season one, so no.
Okay. I'm a chunk of the way into the new episodes, and I don't know. It's feeling off.
Oh.
Season two is feeling off.
Well, you mentioned, like, last time or on one of our stasis pods that, like, it felt like the writers changed, like, style?
Yeah. I think I mentioned it, like, as in our talking before we actually started recording. Mm. But, yeah, it just... There's a thematic inconsistency from the first season.
Oh, you said something about it, like it was a feeling like editorial mandate.
It does feel kind of like someone somewhere, whether at Hasbro or somewhere else, was like, no, if you have bad guys, they have to be bad guys.
Hmm.
So you go from having, you know, the bad guys in season one are people and robots who have made bad decisions and are occasionally continuing to make bad decisions. Hmm. Whereas in this, you get more like, Decepticons are just going to be Decepticons. Now we're going to fight them.
You get a robot voiced by Flea, so he's evil.
Oh, is great. But yeah, the speed with which the main characters just sort of write him off. Just doesn't feel consistent. It doesn't feel thematically consistent. I mean, I'm not saying that I don't think that a story should be able to have characters who are just inherently evil, though that's kind of...
That's fine. But if more than one character continues that trend, that's maybe not great.
It's not even that so much as, like... You gotta be consistent. You can't just start out with one season having your characters have moral complexity, and then the next season get rid of that. And like I said, I don't know. I mean, it's so pervasive that it does kind of feel like a decision was made somewhere. Either that, or the writers were just rushed too much and didn't have time to think through the moral complexities of their writing. Mostly it just feels like something came from on top that said, okay, we're introducing these Chaos Terrans now, and they are bad guys, they're evil, they're made of evil. There's no, like, questionable anything here. It's just evil. They're just evil. That's just how it is.
Chaos Terran. That's funky name. I kind of like it, but that's weird.
It feels bad. It feels bad having these characters who were, I mean, having the good characters be so like welcoming and accepting of everybody in the first season, and now just suddenly have them like, no, those are bad guys who are made of bad, and they're just inherently evil, and there's nothing we can do except fight them. It's like I said, it's thematically inconsistent, and I do not care for it. But, I mean, maybe we're going to get through the season and something will change. I don't know. Whenever I am cranky about something like this, I am always up to being proven wrong. I am always happy to be proven wrong. So that is about it for this week so far. We are running a little longer than we like to run, but you know what? That happens.
Yes.
I have one thing that I would like to mention. So earlier this year, and this is not quite what this is about so much, but just to put it into context, earlier this year, James Roberts reached out to a bunch of people who had been involved in the 90s fandom, doing fanzines and that sort of thing. And because he is putting together a book that is going to collect a bunch of stuff about that, which sounds very exciting. But also very exciting is that some of us have been feeling kind of inspired since then. over on Facebook, primarily, because my generation is old people.
I'm still confused how so many of our friend group is on Facebook. I never liked Facebook.
You know, it's us. It's the 40-somethings.
I mean, I guess we are becoming old people, but
yeah, it's old people, and some people just didn't pick up on Twitter. And but Tony Buchanan, who is best known back in the old days for doing I would say that his was the zine that everybody got. It was called Auto Update, and it was a newsletter format.
Oh, Auto Update. I've heard of that, but I never read any zines.
Even you have heard of that. Yes. Yeah, it was a newsletter format, so it was a lot more like stuff about what's, you know, upcoming toy information and write-ups about conventions, some fan art, not as much like longer form fiction as Overlord 2 or the rollout zine that I did. More of the small short stuff. And one of the biggest things that he did was run like a catalog of listings of all the other fanzines that other people were doing. So if you were doing a fanzine, you wrote to him and had him put a little blurb in there about your fanzine, and that was how more people found out about your fanzine. So
it was a fanzine version of a web ring.
Yeah, it was kind of like that.
That's neat.
Over the last few weeks over on Facebook, he has posted issues 79 and 80 of Auto Update. He's revived that. He wrote a big report about the 40th anniversary theater event. He's running some fan art. It's very cool. If you're on Facebook at all, even just a little bit, maybe go join the Transmasters Facebook group and see what things, you know, us old folks are feeling inspired to put out there again. So yeah, that is over on Facebook. So that is it, but we need to get into the habit of plugging our socials at the end of this.
Yeah.
Like we do. See, Rob, when we do Stasis Pod, is much better at, like, actually having form and structure to things, which is...
But with two of us, it's a faster, more easy-flowing thing, but yes, we do lean into meandering.
Yes. But also... You know, I literally am diagnosed with ADHD, so I'm not great at structure or staying on task. But yes, we are on the socials, on Twitter, still at IaconUG. I've got a Blue Sky set up for us at Iacon Underground at whatever the Blue Sky domain extension is over there. Also, I personally run the Retro.Pizza Mastodon instance. So if you go over to Retro.Pizza, you can sign up there, and I will be the one approving your account, assuming that you do not give me huge Russian bot vibes. And we have an account over there at Iacon Underground at Retro.Pizza. A lot of times at this point, what I'm posting is just... You know, the post to say a new episode is up. I'd like to start posting more news if I can sort of get a little more focus on that. But we are available in all those places. I personally am everywhere at Trickster, T-R-I-X-T-E-R. I am that once again on Twitter. I am that on Blue Sky, and I am at Trickster at Retro.Pizza on Mastodon. Also, Autobot Trickster on Instagram. If you really want to see the little third-party Iron Factory Iron Factory Hound hanging out on Hawksbill Peak in Shenandoah National Park, that is what I do with my Instagram. Lots of little Iron Factory Hound visiting national parks with me.
Yay. Oh, apparently I actually am. I'm Strange F-O-U-R pretty much everywhere, including Instagram.
Yay!
Instagram, the Retro Pizza, Twitter. Technically Blue Sky, I don't go there much.
I'm enjoying Blue Sky for the not as many of the like deep in the weeds fandom people over on Mastodon, but a lot of them seem to have jumped to Blue Sky.
Ah.
And also, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with our hosting expenses. That is patreon.com/iaconunderground. We are joined by our Stasis Pod co-host, Rob, every month to do a special Patreon episode. Maze was a late posting into June of the Masters of the Universe movie. I think you guys have an idea for what we're doing for June.
Yeah, well, I guess we could spoil it here because not everybody's going to notice.
Oh, there we go.
As of probably right now, an Ultraman movie has come out on Netflix.
Oh.
We're not doing that. We're doing something else, Ultraman.
Doing some other Ultraman. I like when we do that. When there's like some big thing out and we're like, yeah, we're going to do something tangential to the big new thing. So yeah, that is patreon.com/iaconunderground. So that is it. That's all our socials. That's our Patreon plug. My watch is telling me that it is about time to get my ass to bed, which is great because I still got to do some cleaning. But
oh, goody.
Lots of news.
I planned to do some art today, but that didn't happen for various reasons, including podcasting.
Lots of news. Like, I am going to go and just look at pictures of Amaret, Zeron, and Flame and be like, what the hell? How is 2024 like this? You know, one of my first fan moments where I was like, things have gotten out of hand was when I saw one of the Titan Books collections of the UK comic at like a Suncoast at the mall.
I still need to get the first collection. I have
what
the
actual hell has happened to this franchise. And this is another one of those where it's like, wow. It's the weirdest, most obscure stuff is just widely available and not mainstream, but it's, you know, available. So that is it for this week. We will be back next week with whatever happens between now and next week.
Yes. And whenever this comes out, it is, it's an hour long.
Sorry. I had to go on about how pretty Flame was. He's a little gay-coded, but mad scientists are always a little gay-coded, and that's because they're awesome. Awesome
people.
I'm not
sure I'd say every mad scientist is gay-coded. Lots of mad scientists in comics were.
I mean, his name is Flame. What are you going to do? Yeah. It's fine.
Well, yes, him more than usual.
He's allowed at Pride. I will accept him at Pride.
But he's going to blow it up.
That's fine. He's going to turn it into engines to move the Earth to go attack other worlds. It's fine. Anyway, good night.
Good night. Record.
All right. Da-da, recording. Da-da, da-da. Everything seems to be okay now.
Fine for now.
Everyone is off. Here, Benjen, come here. If you want to get on my lap, you can get on my lap. But you're not sitting on things on the desk. Come on.
No.
Come on.
No,
sir. Come on. Come on. Come here. Okay. He is now safely in my lap. All right, you ready?
Yes.
Ready to do an episode?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, now he's smacking the microphone arm with his tail. That's great. I'm sure that's picking up on the recording.
Did the good spring vibrations are nice background.
All right. Nope, he's getting on the desk. Well, hopefully, at least he's not headbutting the mic cable. All right, ready to go?
Yes.
All right, let's do an episode.